Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. I'm your host, Zach Moore. And do you have a craving for more Smallville conversation? Well, you've come to the right place, because this week we're talking about the episode Craving. And I'm joined by my friend Nancy. What's up, Nancy?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Zach. I am doing all right. How about you?
I'm great. I'm looking forward to meeting my craving for more Smallville. And that's that's what this podcast is all about. So part of what we do when we have a new guest on is we talk about, you know, where you come from in the whole, like, superhero culture, and do you have any past history with Smallville? If so, what that is, and if not, you know, what's the deal? What's wrong with you? So
most of the superhero stuff I got to experience growing up was secondhand when my brother would deign to let me read his comics. He was really into JLA. He was mostly a DC guy. I don't really remember reading very much Marvel from him growing up. Although that's funny now, because I'm mostly a Marvel person, with the exception of a few people in DC. Green Lantern! Don't watch the movie. Other than that, I have never, and you know, I think we've talked about this in previous times on our nerd casts. I have not always been the biggest fan of Superman. I've noticed a pattern with the sort of superheroes and really other characters from other genres that I like. And I usually like the tortured, sad, like angsty people, which makes sense. So, you know, Superman's not really like that. Or is he? I don't know.
Or is he?
You've been giving me.
You clearly have not watched enough Smallville, Nancy.
I know. Okay. Well, I feel like I got a dose of that in this episode. but actually, because of you, I kind of went away from Superman because my brother liked him so much. I wanted to be different because we were kind of at odds for most of our childhood. Mm. But in recent years, I mean, I read like Red Sun. You know, there are a lot of good Superman arcs that I have come to have a greater appreciation for the character. So I was actually really interested to watch this because I have never, and I'm so sorry, I have never seen a full episode of Smallville on purpose.
Wow. Listen to that, folks. Listen to that. Never seen a full episode of Smallville. Well, that is a very interesting perspective that no one else for now has had on the podcast. We'll see.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we've all pretty much been big fans, so it's good to have that outsider perspective. That's another reason I wanted to have you on, Nancy, because I think that's an interesting point of view to bring to this show, because, you know, so many of us have watched it on and off for years, and it's been part of, like, I call it our childhood. I don't know if you can really count high school as your childhood, because I say I grew up with this show.
I don't know. I think it kind of counts. That's what The X-Files is for me.
Well, exactly. You know, and you mentioned The X-Files, and that's another big fandom that Nancy and I share, are The X-Files. Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to bring this up. So have you watched the revival? Have you finished watching the revival yet, Nancy?
So I haven't finished watching the revival, and it's not because I don't want to. It's just like, with some shows, I'll just get this weird apathy where even if I want to watch it, I just won't make the time for whatever reason. I don't know if that's just related to,
like, I think that really shows you how you feel about the new X-Files then, Nancy.
Well, but okay, so people have told me that it gets, but you told me you were very interested to see what I thought towards the end of it.
How far have you gotten into to season 10?
I've seen episode 4. I've watched up to episode 4.
Okay.
I haven't disliked it. In fact, I have liked it. It's hard to, I mean, I think that's just sort of one of those things that comes from, like, when you're managing your depression, is just sometimes you just don't care about the things you actually care about. This is one of those things where it's like, I want to watch it. I have plenty of time to do so, but I've been working so much on my manuscript that I think I just kind of lose track of time.
I'm going to make you a poster. I'm going to make you a poster that says, I want to watch it with Mulder. I want to believe poster.
But, you know, I think some of it is just like, I'm happy with what I got out of it, the 7 seasons that I recognize from the original show. Mm. So I wonder if, like, that is some of it. Like, I don't have a burning need to watch it.
Like, I know all the Smallville fans out there listening, like, I'm sure a lot of you can relate to Nancy's experience with The X-Files. Because X-Files is another show that went on too long, had too many cast members leave, convoluted its own mythology up its own butt.
So, that's so true, though.
I'll tell you this. Could I rank the episodes for you, and with no spoilers, just so if you're curious?
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. So, I mean, even if they were spoiled, I'm still going to watch
them.
Well,
here's how I would recommend. I rank Mulder and Scully Meet the Weremonster, number 1.
Okay.
Then My Struggle 1. Uh-huh. Then Founder's Mutation. Then Home Again. You can tell that I'm just listing off the top of my head. I'm a huge X-Files fan as well. That's how I know all these these titles.
That's always how you can tell someone else.
Then a gap, My Struggle 2. Then a huge gap, Babylon.
Okay.
So there you go.
Good to know.
That's all I'm going to say. Enjoy. Okay. But Babylon is one of the most confusing hours of television I've ever seen, and we should talk about it after you see it, because I'm sure you'll need to talk about it with someone, so I'm here for you.
Oh boy, that I don't know whether that means I'm here for you to listen to you rage or here for you while you cry probably angry tears. I can't imagine that I would just be sad.
There's a lot to that episode, I'll say that. So speaking of the X-Files and Smallville, there are lots of big X-Files and Smallville connections, but the main one is Mark Snow, who did all the music on the X-Files.
I knew it.
Yeah,
okay.
Did you recognize his score?
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, because while I was watching it, I kept thinking, I was like, man, this is really... this sounds like the X-Files, but maybe that I'm just projecting. It's good for you to confirm that.
No, it is. He did the music for, I believe, the first 5 or 6 years. And then handed it off to somebody else. But I have a quote here from Alfred Gow, one of the creators of Smallville. He said, Miles Miller and I, the other executive producer, Miles and I had always loved Mark's work from the X-Files, and we very much wanted him to do the show when we got it. He agreed to do it. And I think he liked it and could see that he could do something different on this show than what he'd been doing on Millennium. He just does a fantastic job. I agree. I think the music, he really sets the mood, as he did on the X-Files for all these shows. And there's a lot of crossover between the X-Files and Smallville because they both filmed in Canada. So you'll see a lot of the same actors pop up in bit roles. Also, Battlestar Galactica. Pretty much half of all television shows are filmed in Canada these days, so you'll see a lot of the same character actors pop up over and over. But that's a pretty huge connection between them. I mean, this is the guy that's writing the music for every episode. So, and you can really, and that's funny that you saw the DNA there, Nancy, of the X-Files scores in the small sampling of Smallville you got. So you never watched Smallville, huh? Not once.
You know what? I probably did, but it was not memorable because, I mean, it was on, you know, constantly. So I do remember the theme song. I remember hearing the theme song a lot. So I don't know what came on before Smallville that maybe I watched, but I do remember hearing that before I either changed the channel. I'm sure I saw some episodes. I'm sure I did. There's no way that I didn't, because I think there were some other people that I was friends with at the time that really liked the show. It was very popular.
If you trace it back to our high school, Nancy and I, we go back to high school. A huge amount of our circle of friends watched Smallville.
I feel like most of you did. I was probably one of the only outstanding people who didn't watch it, and that was because I was still like, no. No thanks, no Superman for me.
And I totally get why people start falling off the wagon. You know, it came to a point where people were like, is that show still on? I was like, yes, it's still on. I'm still watching it. Then people would be interested. Like, they'd be like, oh, you know, I hadn't watched that in a while. Well, what's been going on this season? And I would explain it to them. Like, just right there what you told me. That's why I don't watch it anymore. And I was like, yeah, I can't play you.
You know, I do remember a few times while we were at college, I think when we would like meet up and talk about stuff, or we'd like hang out like over Christmas break or something. So invariably that would come up. Like, oh yeah, Smallville's still going. We're like, wow, really?
I mean, I was, for whatever reason, I was the Smallville guy, you know, and here I am years later doing a podcast. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
Good for you, because I'm sure if the X-Files had still been going, everyone would have known me as the X-Files person. Isn't it really crappy now?
Well, you know, it really depends. You know, they're doing some interesting stuff. They're doing some interesting stuff.
You're willing to give it so many second chances.
When you're fans of like genre fans like us, and these shows last so long, like they are, like they mark periods of your life, you know.
Absolutely.
So it's pathetic as it may sound to you. Listen, if you're listening to this podcast, you agree with us. You would not be listening to a podcast about Smallville if you didn't know where we were coming.
You're not
from.
Allowed to point fingers. You're in it with us.
Well, speaking of that, let's get into it.
Okay.
I called the hospital this morning. Dustin's in a coma. His body went into shock with a loss of fat. He hasn't told the police anything.
Time to revisit the fat-sucking vampire theory.
You know, if you hadn't been there, he probably would have died, Clark.
What I can't figure out is why anybody would want to steal body fat.
I know, it takes eating disorders to a whole new level.
Jody.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Study group, remember?
Totally slipped my mind.
So no more veggie shakes, huh?
Craving is the 7th episode of Smallville's first season. It aired on November 27th, 2001. It was written by Michael Green and directed by Philip Scrisia. Apologies on your pronunciation. There's just a lot of C's, and I do not know how to pronounce that.
So. Is that G silent? It must be.
It's S-G-R-I-C-C-I-A. So my apologies, Mr. Scrisia. Must be Italian. Anyway, episode starts out. Get the exterior of the Melville greenhouse, and we see a young woman planting some plants, doing some gardening things. Her father walks in. First character to meet is Mr. Melville. He's played by Malcolm Stewart. Now, Malcolm Stewart is a familiar face. He, you know how we were talking about the X-Files and Smallville and all this stuff, everybody's mm-hmm. in Canada? Malcolm Stewart was actually in a few episodes of the X-Files. He's in a few more episodes of Smallville. He's one of these returning actors who's not a returning character. Like, he plays two different doctors in season 4 of Smallville. One in the episode Scare, the other in the episode Onyx. For the longest time, like, when I was watching the show, I thought, oh, cool, look, a recurring character. No, apparently he was two different doctors. Like, thought he was the same character in season 4.
They didn't make him look different?
No, enough? He looked exactly the same. When I get to those episodes in, like, I don't know, a year, when I get to season 4, I'll make a note of that, because I would have sworn he was the same guy in both episodes, because they were just a few weeks apart, because he was a doctor working with Lex Luthor. And I said, oh, cool, look, a recurring background character. No, he wasn't. He was two different guys.
Plot
anyway, in total, he had 3 appearances on Smallville.
Okay.
So he's Mr. Foster. He's Jody's dad. Now, Jody is played by none other than Amy Adams. How about that, folks?
I got excited.
Like, Amy Adams, Amy Adams is Lois Lane now. Like, I don't, how much more legit can you get?
That is totally what I thought, too. When I saw her pull the carrots out and I realized that was her, I was like, oh, man, how far you've come. Like, that's kind of awesome.
Well, she, in her early career, she was doing a lot of TV shows. Like, she was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She was in Charmed. Oh, that's right. If you remember back in, like, the very early episodes of The Office, she was the girl who comes to Dunder Mifflin, sells the purses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Who Jim goes out with. I literally think the episode is called Hot Girl, if I'm correct.
I think you're right.
And oh, she's in a couple more episodes of The Office, so Jim dates her. And then he inexplicably dumps her when Roy and Pam set a wedding date. Like, he's like, you know what? We should break up. Like, what are you talking about?
That's like, if anything, you should stay the course.
Clearly, you're not thinking straight. Jim. But it all worked out for him. That's another show that went on too long. Too many cast members left.
Yeah, we stopped watching after Steve Carell left.
Lance and I were roommates at the time, and here's what we did. The last episode Steve Carell was on, we stopped. Mm-hmm. Cold turkey. You gotta stop there. Because I credit NBC, they were smart. They're like, oh man, if Steve Carell leaves and the season's over, people just won't come back and watch the new season. But if they're already watching, right, if they're in a pattern, if they're watching every week and he just leaves, they're going to keep watching the rest of the season. And maybe they'll be like, you know what? That wasn't so bad. Maybe I'll keep watching, you know?
Nope.
I'm too smart for you.
Yes.
But I give them credit for at least thinking that through. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, we wanted to see what it would be like without Steve Carell. And we kept saying after each episode, like, it's just.
Well, you had watched The X-Files without Mulder. So at that point, nothing can stop you.
This is very true. Yeah, you're right. I'd already made it a point.
So, yes, Amy Adams. Like, and she has gone on. She's won Golden Globes. She has been nominated for several Oscars. She was in probably her most famous role right now. What would you say her most famous role? Like, when you say Amy Adams, what's the first thing that comes to your mind, other than Lois Lane?
Ooh, well, I was thinking of that because this is Smallville. let me see.
Like, I would say probably Enchanted.
That's the movie I was thinking of. I couldn't remember the name of it.
For those of you who aren't familiar with it, this is a movie that came out mid-2000s, and that's when she really started to hit it big, like mid-2000s. She was, like, after hit, big exposure. But this is the movie where she's a Disney princess in two-dimensional world, and she goes through, like, a portal. It sounds suspiciously like Masters of the Universe now that I talk about it. But
it was actually good. I liked it.
And she goes through a portal and she becomes like in the 3D world, right? So she, but Amy Adams, if a Disney princess came to life, that would be Amy Adams, right? I mean, like, it's perfect casting. And she can sing. And her boyfriend is, of course, Cyclops, James Marsden.
Yes.
Eternally cast as the guy whose girlfriend is in love with someone else. Poor guy.
That's so true. Dang, what was the name of... Oh, American Hustle. That's the movie I was thinking of.
That was more like a big ensemble piece. Christian Bale and Jennifer Lawrence and all these other people who played superheroes were in it. Also, she was in The Fighter with Christian Bale.
Oh, yeah.
She got a lot of attention for that. So Amy Adams is legit Hollywood.
So she's big time.
You know, I think her big breakout role was Doubt, where she played the nun with Meryl Streep.
That's the other one.
Yeah.
And Philip Seymour, right? Yeah. So I have a question. How many, now I'm curious, how many Smallville episodes have, like, a guest star kind of like that who wasn't really, like, a thing then?
It's
very
similar to the X-Files where, like, it's Jack Black, but no one knew of Jack Black at the time. Oh, my God, it's Ryan Reynolds, but no one knew at the time. Because it's just the young, the show is based in high school, so at least the first half of it is. So you're going to get younger actors. Yeah. And there are, I'd say, I don't know. Earlier in the show, there's more of that.
Yeah.
Than later. But Amy Adams is far and away the most successful. So that being said, she's not instantly recognizable.
Because
Jodie is overweight. She's an overweight teenager in high school. And that's a tough place to be. And I appreciate what they were trying to do with this episode. Like, I get they're like, you know what? The kids experience this. You know, let's tackle this issue of teen obesity and bullying and stuff. At least I think that's what they were trying to do. But it's like, they put Amy Adams in a fat suit, basically.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's kind of like the Shallow Hal effect. I don't know what was up with the early 2000s and this, like, let's make skinny people fat and then make them skinny and then we'll make a point about something. Shallow Hal was similar. So did you ever see Shallow Hal?
I did.
What did you think? I mean, I feel like its heart's in the right place, but it's just so hard to do something like that.
Right. Like, it sounded good on paper. I think the intention was good, but the execution missed the mark a little bit.
So as a teenage girl, Nancy, you can maybe relate to this girl. Like, did this show do that kind of plotline justice? I don't.
Yeah. Well, I guess from the girl perspective, I mean, it's funny because I remember thinking that I wasn't obsessed with my weight at that point, I want to say, maybe. But I mean, you always think about it. It's impossible not to, even if you're skinny. I mean, I was friends with a lot of girls who I would have like killed someone to look like they did, and they were still insecure about the way they look. So, you know, it affects everybody. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you're actually skinny or not. But I think that was pretty accurate, although it made me feel bad for her that she didn't really seem to have friends. And maybe this is because I only saw this episode. I don't know. I mean, surely she's not a recurring character.
No, that's the problem that starts to crop up in Smallville. Like, you start to meet these characters where there's like, oh, hey, Jodie, study group, remember? And all this stuff. And we're like, wait, no. No, I've been watching this show for 4 years. I've never seen this person before.
Exactly.
I allow it earlier in the show. That's the terminology I use on the show. But I allow it earlier in the show. I'm like, okay, we're just meeting these characters. It's only like the 8th episode, 7th episode. Sure, that's fine. But you get into like season 4, season 5, and it's like, oh, hey, Trevor, are you going to be at the game later like we always do? Like, no, that's not how it works.
Right.
So what Jodie's doing in this greenhouse, she's like mixing some vegetables and all this, and we see that her and her dad are talking about her weight or whatever, and she says, no more food, just this.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of zoom into the dirt because the dad like walks over to it and
like
puts his hand in it.
Does he really not notice the glowing, like, rocks, the glowing kryptonite in the soil?
He can clearly see the meteor rocks. His hand is 2 inches away from a meteor rock. And, like, look, first of all, your daughter is going to, like, eat this stuff. So that should be red flag number one. Red flag number two, you apparently run some kind of plant and produce, like, business.
Yes.
You need to be, like, checking out your dirt, man. You can't just be having meteor rocks in it. And it was just bizarre. Like, usually, like, I feel like in another episode, like, a character would be like, oh my god, there's meteor rocks in here. And then that would be another scene. Like, you have another, it would follow, it's like a choose your own adventure would follow a whole different sequence of events from that point. But here, he's like, oh, okay. He seems like a pretty absent-minded dad. Like, he's not very involved in her life. He's, like, going out of town all the time. Like, what kind of important business do you have to do in Metropolis when you run a greenhouse? You know?
I know, right? That's what I thought, too. He's kind of like cardboard dad.
Yeah.
Like, I have a daughter, and I don't know how to relate to her, I'm going to flee the situation as much as possible.
Anyway, so we get to school, and she's making, like, a scrapbook of herself, and she's cutting off the heads of supermodels and putting her own head on them. I
never did that.
For
the record, I think that to me was a little like, no.
That was a little, they're pushing on too much, but I'm sure, I guess people did that. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to visualize, and I get maybe, you know, set goals. I want to look like this. I can understand that, but that is kind of
creepy. Sort of leads to the dark side of the internet. There was like a thing. I didn't even know that this was a thing until fairly recently. I don't remember the name for it, but basically it's like anorexia inspiration. And people just have a bunch of, they sort of encourage each other towards that, like, unhealthy lifestyle. It's really creepy. So this sort of reminded me of that a little bit. I don't think that was a thing at this point. I don't think that's what it's referencing. But people definitely go that far.
Well, I mean, they're just trying to let us know she has self-image problems. But I feel like that's pretty evident with, like, I am just going to eat this shake forever until I lose weight. Like, that in and of itself is enough.
Yeah, and like the makeup with the fat suit also made
me. Oh yeah, the makeup.
Sad.
So Chloe and Pete come up to her, and they talk for a little bit, and they're like, "Hey, Jody, can you help us out with our algebra?" And she's like, "Oh, sure. I thought Clark usually helps you with that." I'm like, "Oh, Clark's busy planning Lana's birthday party," which is the B plot of this episode. And then Chloe's like, "We'll buy you lunch." I was like, "Oh no. Oh, why? No, why did you say that?"
I know, right? Like, talk about stepping in it.
Yeah, way to go, show. Then we get who I refer to as Basketball Guy. Basketball Guy is a character, and you all know Basketball Guy, because you all went to school with people who walked around with basketballs for no reason. Like, are you on the team? Why do you have a basketball? Like,
it's so true.
Like, what? Are you just waiting for a game to break out? Like, you got to carry that around all day. That's very inconvenient. Well, Pete and Chloe and Jody are all talking like around her locker, and he just basically comes up and to be a bully. His name is Dustin, which is like a perfect douchey white guy name. Am I right?
Yes.
But he throws the basketball at them, and it hits Jody, and it spills her kryptonite shake all over herself, and she's embarrassed, and she storms off. And Pete, he picks up the basketball, and he throws it at Dustin's head. I'm like, hey, good for you, Pete. Way to stand up for your friend there. That's like her day at school, you know, and then, you know, we get Jody back at home. And this is all before the credits, mind you. It's interesting, we have no Clark, we have no Lana, we have no Lex, and they are the three main characters. So we're getting all these auxiliary characters so far, which is probably the only episode of Smallville which has none of those characters in the teaser.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
So we get Jody back at home. She has pictures everywhere of like some of the same pictures she's been scrapbooking, you know, or here's me with a better body and all that. There's also a lot of pictures of her and her dad, and I don't know if you noticed this, but at least three of them are exactly the same picture. just in a different area of the picture frame, of the mirror frame. I was like, look, I get it, the prop department's like, look, we got these actors together for one day, let's take some pictures, but I don't know, first of all you don't need five pictures of you and your dad on your bathroom mirror, and even if so, like, they come on, prop department, step your game up. Those are exactly the same picture. You didn't think we're gonna notice that? They're like a foot apart. Anyway,
I think they're just hoping no one is scrutinizing that carefully.
Come on, man.
Nerds watch this movie. What are you expecting?
Yeah, welcome to a comic book show. So she's weighing herself.
Okay. So like...
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like this is where I had to pause it to laugh. Okay, only because I think it's hilarious that... And I know that everyone carries... Now, I'm not saying everyone carries weight differently. That is very true. But like the fact that 168 pounds is fat, like, I wrote a big LOL next to it in my notes.
Well, it's WB fat,
my
Nancy.
Goal weight is 160 pounds. Like, if I got down to 160 pounds, I'd throw a freaking ticker tape parade. Like, that seems insane to me that she's in high school. I don't even think I was. I mean, I wasn't fat in high school. Like, that, like, I wasn't overweight, but I don't think I was 160, but I just thought that was my first thought, as I was like, oh man, so you're immediately making every girl watching this show who's close to that number feel really bad.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you could have not had the numbers, and that's why I thought it was completely unnecessary to have the scale, because you can see, like, she feels like a rumble or whatever in her stomach, and she pulls up her shirt and her stomach shrinks.
Yeah,
so she gets back on the scale to like confirm that she's lost weight. Like, what?
No. It's like 30 pounds. I was just like, oh no, oh man. Like, I agree with you. You could have done that and had the same effect without showing the numbers. She could have just looked down at the scale and been upset, and you would have known. You know what I mean?
The audiences aren't that stupid. You don't need the visual aid of like seeing the weight go away and the scale go backwards. I thought that was really overdoing it.
I agree.
And having watched all these episodes in a row, this is the lamest cut to the opening credits yet. Like, usually something crazy happens, like somebody turns into a freak of the week, or there's a huge accident, or Clark does something crazy, or a surprise character makes an appearance. But this is like, I'm losing weight. Somebody save me. It's like, wow.
I was still laughing.
That is not quite the momentum you need going into the episode proper. So we come back from the opening credits, and we start on a treadmill. Was this their attempt to tie these plots together? Like, Lex
yes,
is working
that is
out.
Exactly what I thought too. Because I thought, oh, now we're with what? We're with Lex now. Okay, show.
So Lex is having an annual physical, and his doctor tells him, "Hey, you have a high white blood cell count." They're talking about like what this means for his health. The doctor's asking, "Are you on any medication? Do you get sick?" And Lex says, "No, I don't get sick. In fact, I used to have asthma, but I don't anymore. And I lost it on the day of the meteor shower when I also lost my hair."
Can I ask you something about the show? So at this point, is he just like a billionaire son? He's not really turned into any part of the like Lex that he'll become.
No, no, and that's the whole beauty of Smallville is Lex starts out like his father is the Lex Luthor equivalent in the timeline of the show right now.
Okay.
Lionel Luthor,
I kind of remember that.
He's like a tycoon, nefarious businessman who has some shady stuff going on. Lex and his father have never gotten along. Lex's mother died when he was very young. So he rejects his father's lifestyle, his father's philosophy. And part of that is why he's ended up in Smallville. He's trying to not be his father, basically, at this stage of his life.
Gotcha.
So the doctor explains to Lex, oh, well, I see a lot of this in Smallville. This sets up the C plot of the episode, which is Lex, you know, investigating Kryptonite's effects on humans.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to Lana's house, and Clark is just in the ultimate friend zone here.
Oh, man, that is so true.
Clark is not Lana's boyfriend, but he is sitting there planning her birthday party with her. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, have some self-respect, you know?
Yeah, okay, how long does that continue? Because I disliked both of them in this episode.
Really? You didn't like Clark or Lana?
I've always hated Lana. I don't think I'll ever like her. And I don't know if it's because I don't like her as the character that she portrayed, like this Lana, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In Smallville Lana, or if I just don't like Kristen.
This Lana is very different from the comic Lana. But I will say this, revisiting the show, I remember why I used to like Lana. Like, I thought she was a good character in the first season or two. As the show progressed, they didn't know what to do with her. Typical, like, I don't know what to do with this female character. Let's define her by her male relationships. And that's basically what she became later in the show. But here, you know, I actually liked Lana here.
I think what the problem for me with Lana is, like, it's so obvious that he likes her. Like, I have no respect for her if she doesn't know that on some level. Like, I think that is annoying to me.
Well, I guess it's some kind of understood thing because they had gone on a date, a non-date earlier a couple episodes ago, and that's why they make a big deal for like, hey Clark, promise you'll be there this time and stuff later in the episode.
Yeah, I got the sense that like he had already started, you know, saving some stuff, being the hero, and you know, flaking on her when she needed him.
Exactly.
Got it.
So Lana's aunt is like living vicariously through her here by planning her birthday party. they're having the birthday party at Luther Mansion. It's been established that Lex and Lana's aunt had like some business connection or something, so I guess that's why we ended up having this party at Luther Mansion.
Okay, but that's what I assumed too. I was like, well, they either grew up together, they know each other, or whatever. I don't know.
Clark reaches ultimate third wheel status when Whitney shows up, and he's like, Lana and Clark are outside. And then Whitney drives up, he comes out of the truck, he's like, oh, Lana, it's great. I got the tryout at Kansas State, and he doesn't even recognize that Clark is there, and he like hugs Lana, he kisses her, and Clark's like,
"Yeah,
hey, congratulations, man."
He doesn't even say anything. What a douche! Golly,
he's like, wow, that's great. And then and he's like, "Well, I'm gonna go. I'll see you guys later." And he just kind of like wanders on out. But you know what, Clark? That's your own fault. You put yourself in that situation. Like, what do you expect? You're hanging out with this girl who has a boyfriend. Boyfriend comes over, they start celebrating his athletic success. Like, what do you expect? You know what I mean?
No, I kind of agree. That was awkward.
And I'm always trying to figure out, like, what day of the week is it with Smallville? Because, like, this was all happening on a weekday morning before school? Because the next scene we get Clark and Pete and Chloe at school together.
Do they just have the first couple periods off or something? Like, are they arriving late?
They're freshmen, you know, so I don't know. But all these people are just hanging out outside the school, eating lunch, throwing footballs around, doing whatever. I'm like, what is this activity going on?
That's TV high school. You only have to be in class, like, maybe aggregate 2 hours a day.
Yeah, that's true. So it's Clark, Chloe, and Pete, and they're walking, you know, by all this bustling activity before school starts. And Jody's sitting at a park bench nearby, a picnic table. Picnic table. You get it? You see what I did there? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, so
that is no worse than what the show has done to this poor girl.
No, I agree.
She's like, hey, Pete. And Pete's like, hey, girl, what's up? Because she's lost some weight. Well, they're all kind of like, oh, hey, Jody, you look great. What's going on? She's like, oh, my diet's working out. So, hey, Pete, do you have a date to Lana's birthday party? And it's funny because Pete's like speechless because, you know, Amy Adams is a pretty girl. And she's basically asking him after this party, and he like it just dumbly stares at her, and Clark basically like pokes him and says, yes, he's free.
He's free, he'll go.
Yes, he'll go with you. Okay, see you there. So that
my problem with this
that was a
was
fun it, moment, though.
This made me sad, though. I think this moment was really sad to me because they kept saying, like, oh, I think Chloe was the one who was like, oh, it looks like she, man, she's really lost some weight. She was the only one to really make that comment in sort of an entirely like, whoa, she looks amazing. Like, it's been a day. Like, does no one really notice her enough to realize that she's lost, like, a lot of weight overnight? 30 pounds is noticeable on anyone.
Well, see, that's the show's fault for giving us the exact numbers, Nancy. Again, have they not shown the scale, that might have been more
like
believable.
Right. It's like those two people did not talk to each other between, like, this scene and then the scene with the scale.
I'd be curious if, like, the scale numbers are in the script.
You know? Me too. Oh, God. I don't want to know that. I'll be angry. Although I have to say, I understand why, but I'm just like, and I understand for this time period, for the show, like all that stuff, it's just unfortunate that the fat person is always a girl. That's so cliche and unfortunate. It makes sense because it wouldn't be the same if it was a guy.
Right.
You're not going to get anything done if you're trying to be progressive with that, because that's not who gets fat shamed for being fat. It's women. So it makes sense.
Well, I just don't get, like, again, we'll keep coming back to this, but I don't know what they were trying to say. You know?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, I just agree. Don't, like, if you're going to do something like this, you have to say something. And they didn't at all. So, you know, Pete's all happy, blah, 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 blah. Lana goes to the Kents to, like, deliver their invitations to her party or something like that. Although they're not going. Now that I think about it, I don't even know why Lana went to the Kents. But basically she says it was an excuse just to get out of the house. And that I can believe, because she's kind of over her aunt taking over her birthday party.
Right.
And she's talking to the Kents, Martha and Jonathan. And then Clark comes home and they have a little moment. It's funny. Jonathan goes off to work and Martha's staying in the kitchen, but Clark and Lana are having a conversation in the living room, and Martha overhears this. So the way they shoot it is funny. We see Martha in the foreground, like, listening and reacting to what Clark is saying.
Yeah.
It's so good because she's listening to his, like, lame pickup lines or his lame attempts. She's like, I will defend you from all your adoring fans or something. Something lame and very Clark Kent-like.
Oh, yeah, it was super lame.
And Lana's like, oh, that'd be great. Well, just make sure you make it this time, because – as we mentioned earlier, two episodes ago in Cool, he was going on his non-date with Lana, but he left that date to go save Chloe. See, here's the deal, though. He doesn't have to tell people, oh, I'm sorry, I had to leave and use my superpowers to stop a superpowered villain. He could have said, oh, hey, I'm sorry, I knew Chloe was going to be here and in danger, so I had to go help her. Or I knew Pete was going to be here and in danger, so I had to go help him. You know what I mean? Like he makes this big sacrifice, like, it's not like Superman went and did something and you can't say you're Superman. Like, no one knows what's going on. So you could have just lied about that, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's very true. I wondered that, too. Why didn't he just...
But he made up for it at the end, though, I think. So,
yes, he did.
So we go back to Jody, and she's continuing to lose weight, but she starts to kind of have a craving, so to speak.
No kidding, she does.
She just goes insane in the kitchen. Like, look, I get it. Like, I think we've all come home some days like, man, I'm so hungry. I'm just gonna eat stuff.
Yeah, but you're not eating it like like an animal. Like, you're like spilling stuff
like
on the ground.
Like a caveman just discovered the kitchen. She's just pulling stuff off the shelves and taking a bite out of this, taking a bite out of that.
I'm surprised she didn't just eat the wrapper on those, like, snacky cakes. Like, I'm really surprised.
God bless Amy Adams. Like, it's a really thankless role here, because it's like, okay, Amy, we need you to just go crazy in the kitchen. Just stuff that in your mouth. Like, yeah, give us some more.
Thinking, while she was doing that, I was thinking, she was thinking to herself, like, gotta have a paycheck.
Oscars, visualize.
Right? Yeah, it's all about the end goal.
And I guess, like, look, if she's so hungry, she's not gonna, like, take a bite of something and then, like, throw it on the ground and, like, eat something else. Like, she's gonna finish the job, you know?
She's gonna eat everything. Yeah, there was a lot of leftover food on the ground, which I just...
Now, and I forget, is the end of this tantrum that she throws the shake at the wall?
Yes.
It's like, what are you doing? Like, your dad's gonna come home at some point, like, hey, what the hell happened in here?
Yeah, because she drank it a second time, right?
Well, she realizes that, well, after this crazy tantrum,
makes the connection.
Yeah, there's like this rack focus, like, from her to, like, the shake machine.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, it's your fault. And she throws it at the wall.
This, like, wrathful glare, like, oh, she's going to shatter it on the wall.
Food, what have you done to me? And she throws it at the wall, like, with these, like, this nice little wall. It's got plates on it, you know, and she's just completely ruined it with her nasty kryptonite shake. And it's like, what are you doing? How do you explain that to your dad when he comes? Clueless dad.
Right.
obviously, you know, the food at home is not enough. So she goes in her car to, and this is, I had to make a notice, Church's Chicken. Did you see the wrapper in the front seat? It was Church's Chicken.
I did.
Chicken.
And I thought, like, product placement.
Yeah, I know. You rarely see, like, real stuff like that. It's usually like, I'm drinking a cola, you know? I'm eating some chips.
Yeah,
know?
I'm eating some potato chips.
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't just say fried chicken on the side. It's Church's. So I thought that was kind of funny. Because out of all the places, that's like, Church's is a solid number three on the recognizability. You know, it's KFC and then Popeyes.
I so agree.
And then Raising Cane's is actually coming up from behind, too. So better watch out, Church's. You're going to fall.
So that's like a vote for mediocrity, then. We've got Church's.
Well, you know, and the Church's chicken is not enough because she's eating it. And we get this really, really weird special effect shot of this deer in the road.
At first, I thought it wasn't a real deer.
Well, you're right. It's not a real deer.
No, I thought in the show it was not a real deer.
Oh, wow.
No, I knew it was CG, but like...
Well, it actually wasn't even CG. So let me read this passage from the Smallville Companion. And once again, when I read a lot of these trivia notes, a lot of them are from the official Smallville Companions. We're obviously in season one right now, so that's what it's from. It's by Paul Simpson. So if you guys want to learn all these facts for yourself, buy the book. But if you don't, just count on me to get them to you. So they're talking about the deer special effect. And Miles Miller, one of the executive producers, kind of explains why it didn't look so good. He says, the deer is a little claymation hairless creature which turns towards the car. It was just too late to change it. I think it's the worst effect we've ever done. If we'd known what the effect was going to be like, we would have found a way to cut around it, but there was no time. Because basically they didn't get the like delivered final product to the day of airing of the episode.
Dang.
So they had no time to like, oh God, we got to cut around that, because they've scored it. They've done the sound mix. They can't just remove a shot. They were like, well, I guess we'll just go for it. Cause really it looked like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and those old claymation specials.
Yes.
And that's exactly what it was. So it was a hairless claymation model.
See, I thought she was hallucinating at first. And then when it rolled up onto the windshield, I thought, oh, no, it's real. Okay.
So then she goes all like Anaconda and drops her bottom jaw out to suck out all the fat.
Like, okay, so the deer thing, I was thinking like, oh, that's not very good. That's a bad effect. She gets out of the car and stumbles over there, and I thought, oh, it's going to do some X-Files stuff right now. Is she going to eat that? I don't know why I thought that she was going to, like, bury her face in it and, like, you know, rip some food out. No, I got treated to the next. Then I started laughing because I thought that was pretty.
I was delightfully
surprised because I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I feel like it would have been a lot more effective if she had, like, not had the crazy mouth, you know, and just like, oh, wow. This girl is eating this deer. Like, it's messed up. But I guess they wanted to show, like, the mechanism of the fat sucking, and that's her jaw dropping out. But it looks terrible. Such a terrible special effect. And
you're right. This is a thankless role.
Yeah, poor Amy Adams. Like, just Oscar, Oscar, Oscar. Just keep on visualizing.
I want somebody to ask her about it after she wins, another amazing award. I want to see the look that comes across her face as she recalls filming.
Like, I feel like if it's ever going to happen, it would be like when Conan O'Brien.
Yes.
You know, because
Conan would be perfect.
Did you ever see when Harrison Ford was on Conan once and he showed a clip from the Star Wars Holiday Special?
Yes.
It was so good.
Oh, so bad.
Harrison Ford hates all talk shows, but for whatever reason, like, he really likes being on Conan O'Brien, because whenever he's there, like, it always turns out great. Like, they have a great rapport between the two of them. But that would be great. Like, so Amy, let's take a look at some of your early acting career. Now, this was a logical time to go to commercial. I think this is the only time of the entire episode where they went to commercial and it was like, okay, that was a natural act break, not, oh my God, I'm losing weight or something like that.
Somebody save.
Exactly. So when we come back for commercial, Clark is doing his spying on Lana.
Does this happen a lot? Does Clark spy on Lana's front porch a lot?
Well, here's the deal. Here's the setup. Lana is his next door neighbor, but, you know, since it's the country, next door is like an acre away.
Sure.
So he uses his telescope to look at her sometimes.
To creep on her sometimes?
I can't justify it. I'm on record saying that's creepy. Like, I've never justified him doing this, because it's just creepy. Like, how is he not like George McFly from Back to the Future, right? I mean, what's the difference, right? It's just,
that's so true.
You're peeping Tom, bro. So, and he sees this stuff like, oh, it's Lana and Whitney. I'm like, what do you expect? You're spying on this girl and her boyfriend. Like, what do you expect to be happening here, man? I love how Chloe comes up and just pops his bubble. She's like, getting your morning Lana fix.
Yeah, that was great. I liked that. I love that she busts him on it.
And he's like, what, don't you ever knock? She's like, it's a barn, Clark.
Yeah, that was great.
So Chloe has found this news report. Because, man, these traffic reporters are on top of things. Because the next day, the next morning, there's an article in the Smallville Ledger about this traffic accident with a deer and all the died under mysterious circumstances, you know. But hey, it's a small town. There might be front page news for all we know, right? Chloe thinks it's mysterious. So I guess she asks Clark about it because, you know, his family has connections at animal control or something.
Yeah, I was unclear on the why she wanted Clark to go.
It's kind of paid off when they get there. And like it's kind of hard to hear because they're off screen. But I love how she says, your pull was, can I use your restroom?
Yeah.
That's how they get in the building. And this is, mind you, this is all before school. This is before school.
Yeah, again, this is happening before, right. How did they have time? And it's not like they woke up at the crack of dawn.
Right, it's like, it's not like dark outside. I mean, but anyway, whatever. But that's why, yes, I like playing that game. Like, what day of the week is it? What time of day is it? What's going on here? Like, just some basic respect for the structure of the school day is all I'm asking for, Smallville. And only 4 years out of your 10 am I asking that from you, you know? But anyway.
Oh, that's true.
So they check, less than 50% of
didn't even
show.
Think about that. Oh, man.
So they check out this deer, and thankfully we don't see it. One, because it would be gross. Two, they probably don't have the special effects budget for it. But all the fat has been sucked out of it. So they make note of that. Because yes. Chloe is all about, you know, the wall of weird, and the meteorites do weird things to people in Smallville and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So they've started to have they've experienced a few things recently here in the last few episodes, and they've started to start jumping in these conclusions. So Clark says, what do you think it is, Chloe? Some fat-sucking vampire in town? Chloe says, it's Smallville, Clark. Land of the weird, home of the strange.
I have to say, when I found out that all the fat, I thought it was just going to be a mangled corpse because I thought she'd been eating it, right? But when it lost 80% of its body fat or whatever she said, this made me, I don't know if you've seen a lot of Doctor Who, but there is a very famous episode of Doctor Who that deals with like adipose, which is sort of like the anthropomorphic fat tissue and some general like zaniness that happens around the doctor and the companion. And this is, I immediately thought of that because I think a lot of people would at this point, especially if you've seen Doctor Who.
Was this a new Doctor Who?
Yes, new Who, like not vintage Who.
So it ripped off this episode then, because this episode came out in 2001.
It's Boom. Very possible. Boom. I mean, I don't know. It's very possible.
There you go, Stephen Moffat.
Ugh, let's not talk about him. So that happened. And I was thinking, okay, this has gotten a little more weird. And then it cuts to, like, what, Jody, right?
No.
What happens after
no,
that?
No. What it cuts to is Lex doing a mysterious internet search.
Oh, that's right.
I was like, man, this episode must be running short on time. If he's like, we see him literally typing in thesmallvilletorch.com.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Obviously forgot about that. I was trying to follow the narrative instead of...
Oh, no. See, that's your mistake. Clearly, the writers were not trying to follow the narrative. Because we're trying to... Once again, we got the C-plot going on with Lex. By far the best part of the episode. And I don't know if you guys have got a chance to see it or not, but I posted the trailer for this episode. Interesting to note, they use almost no footage from this actual episode in the trailer. They use Lex's story about how he lost his hair, which we'll get to in this next scene here.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else is like stock footage from earlier episodes and just like mysterious voiceover. Maybe they use the footage of like the greenhouse blowing up, because that was a good special effect.
Sure.
But that's it. Like they knew they had a dud here, and they're like, let's not promote this. But
let's just let this one sail under the radar.
So this is the scene where Jody's dad, like, he has to go on another important business trip. Like, for a guy that works at a greenhouse, he sure does have like a coat all the time and like going on an important business. Jody's in the bathroom, and we don't really see the bathroom yet. We just see a close-up of her face and a close-up of her dad outside, and he's like, I just want you to be happy when you look in the mirror, Jody. And he's about to open the door, right? He's about to be a good dad and check on his daughter. But she's like, but Dad, I am happy. He's like, oh, okay, well, she's happy, then I guess we're good. And he leaves.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we have the shocking reveal of the bathroom, there's just all this, you know, wrappers of food and stuff everywhere. How is that, like, a crazy reveal? Like, we know she's been doing that, right?
I knew that since it was Smallville, it wasn't going to show me like X-Files would, with like a bunch of bodies that she'd like withered away to nothing.
This is a family show. This is not on Friday nights, Nancy. This is on Tuesday nights at 7. All right, we got standards.
Tuesday nights at 7
Central.
Oh, man. man. Right. So, I mean, if this had been a different show, I would have expected bodies in there or whatever.
Yeah, like a stack of dead bodies in the tub or something. I see.
Exactly. Yeah. You're right. No. That's what I was kind of, and the music made me feel like I should expect bodies, right? Yeah, because that's
Mark Snow at work. Yeah.
Yeah. But then she's surrounded by the, I kept thinking, I was like, okay, well, you know, the logical conclusion of this is that she'll eventually attack someone she knows. Mm-hmm. And then here we are.
The escalation. Yeah. But before we get there, hate to interrupt your narrative structure, but
oh, that's right. Now we got to switch back to the
C plot. Right? Lex shows up at the school. Yes. It's all a pretense, really, because he wants to investigate the torch, as was established in his sinister internet search earlier. he's at the torch. He's looking at Chloe's Wall of Weird, which is her collection of all the strange things that have happened in Smallville since the meteor shower, which is a really cool thing.
Agreed.
It would never occur in today's day and age because there are no newspapers. Print is dead. So it was a cool thing, though. Like, I really liked that collection. That's what people used to do, like conspiracy walls and stuff like that. And through every episode, more people have been learning about it. Clark learned about it in the pilot. Lana learned about it in the last episode. Lex learns about it in this episode. And then him and Clark have a really good conversation. Like, this conversation here, like, makes this whole episode worthwhile, in my opinion.
Yeah, this was cool. I really liked it. I wasn't expecting it to be so, what's the word?
Good.
Well, I have to say my expectations were neutral, so I was pleasantly surprised that it was so interesting.
This is tipping the scales back up to good.
Yeah, he actually dropped by to have, like, a legitimate conversation and not just, you know, walk around and say mysteriously vague things and then have it cut to something else.
Right. Nice. Well, this is something we have not, I mean, we know what happened to Lex, but he hasn't really told it from his perspective before. So sure. him opening up here to Clark is like a big moment. And we realize how big a moment it is at the end of the episode. But he basically explains that, you know, when the meteors hit, he was in Smallville with his dad because his mom thought him and his dad should spend more time together. And he's like, funny how one day can change your whole life. Which is not that this was a reference, but it reminded me of The Killing Joke, you know, the Batman Joker story, where it's just all it takes is one bad day. Which, by the way, it was announced this week that they are making the animated movie of The Killing Joke with Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill. I'm very excited about it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Like, that was really the only way to do it.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that.
Clark, of course, tells Lex, oh, I'm sorry. And Lex says, well, it's not your fault. Of course, you know. It kind of is, so
it is.
That's been having a lot to Clark in these early episodes because everybody's like, "Oh, it's not your fault, Clark." And technically, it's not his fault, yes, but he still feels responsible. So Lex just basically explains, you know, he used to think his baldness was like a curse, but then he embraced it and it was a gift and it defined him and it gave him strength and, you know, that became who he was, which is why it's so disappointing that Jesse Eisenberg is not bald in Batman vs Superman, but.
I agree.
We saw that one picture, like, way back when they released the first picture of Lex Luthor, and he was bald. And I'll tell you, he looked a lot like Michael Rosenbaum in that picture from Smallville.
Yeah.
And as far as we can tell, he has his long red hair in this movie. I'm sure he will lose his hair at some point in this movie, and that will be another reason why he hates Superman. But that is why it's so cool. In Smallville, it's completely turned it around, because traditionally, Lex had lost his hair in an accident. And, well, this is like Golden Age, Silver Age story here. Lex lost his hair in a lab accident, and Superboy had saved Lex Luthor, but through using a super breath, it had blown the chemicals through his hair. It all fallen out, and that's a big reason why he hated Superboy. But as silly as that sounds, but they turned it around completely, and now Lex, you know, it defines him, and that's what makes him who he is. And that's really cool. That's a cool character trait for this character. Gets him some motivation. We kind of understand, because like you were kind of joking about earlier, Lex is kind of a mysterious guy. He does shady things. He says things, you know, double entendres and stuff like that. You're never really sure where he stands. But this is him basically opening his soul up to Clark, and so that's why it's such a great scene.
Agreed. This really elevated the rest of the episode around it was decent. You know, I mean, I enjoyed watching it, but I really, this was the kernel that made me, like, maybe want to watch more of it.
Exactly. Thank God for that kernel. but through this conversation, you know, Chloe comes in and Lex learns about Dr. Hamilton, and that sets him off on the rest of his B plot, which we'll get to at some point, because we got to go back now to the Freak of the Week story with Jody, and we see Dustin again, the bully from the beginning of the episode, and he's, like, kind of checking her out. You know, she's having another hunger moment, having a craving. And
craving.
She decides, oh, this is an opportunity. So she decides to kind of offer herself up, so to speak, to her old bully and takes him under the football stadium and attempts to suck his fat. Now, As a woman, how did you feel that now that she has the power of feminine wiles, she immediately uses them for evil? How did you feel about that?
I mean, I see what you're probably implying with that question, but I also feel like it would be disingenuous for her to not want to hurt people who had hurt her so much. Mm-hmm. So I think that makes sense. I mean, I think that's kind of always how I feel when women in media use feminine wiles to exact vengeance upon men who either abuse them or, you know, that kind of thing. Like, I can't really condemn that because that just makes sense.
I think. I mean, I will say it was like, oh, okay. But
I actually wasn't sure.
Oh, you thought she was really just going for
it? I wasn't sure whether she was just like, it was going to be, she's going to take advantage of the new body. She, you know what I mean?
Tuesday nights at 7. That's not happening on Smallville.
I'm sorry. I can't. I do not have a family-friendly mind.
She takes him down under, like, the boiler room under the football stadium. And when she's down there.
Like Death Central.
Yeah, it's like, come on, bro.
I thought they were just going to, like, make out under the stands. And I thought, okay. And then I thought the hunger would come over her, and then she'd attack him. Oh. But when she let him into the boiler room, I was like, yeah, that's some X-Files business. Yeah.
Well,
you're dead.
When she's explaining, like, so, how does it make you feel to know that you made me wish I was dead rather than fat? I was like, damn, like, that kind of stuff got real here, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's when I was kind of like, oh, maybe you're okay. That's
so,
all right.
I mean, it's tough because you don't want to be like, God, she just turned evil quick, but it's not really why she's doing it. Like, she has this, physiological, like, condition now where she has to, like, get fat. Convenient for basketball guy down there who's about to die. Clark and Lana have been having a nice heart-to-heart conversation in the football stadium for no reason. For no reason. Such a convenience. I did not like this at all. I mean, I'm glad Clark and Lana had the scene. It was a good scene. She explained to him that the last happy birthday she ever has was with her parents, and they went to a drive-in movie theater, and they watched cartoons, and then she fell asleep, and she felt like she was safe, is what she tells Clark. So, luckily, Clark was paying attention because he uses the story against her later, so well done.
Mm-hmm.
that allows Clark to hear this disturbance, you know, under the football stadium, and then he brushes in and I guess saves basketball guy, because would he have died, like, if Clark had not interrupted her sucking his fat? Like, it's kind of unclear. So
probably, I mean, scientifically, yes.
Because my thought was this, like, the Clark and Lana scene you needed to have, because it sets up the ending. And obviously you need her to suck Jody to suck basketball guy's fat. But you didn't really need to have Clark find him, I thought. That was kind of contrived.
Well, you didn't need it because then later on when Chloe finds the receipt for the body shop, like, that already links it. So we didn't really need to
see
that.
That's not even a clue. Like, that's not even a clue.
Yeah.
I guess bottom line, they didn't want to have Jody kill someone. Because if they
remember,
would have found...
like you said, Tuesday nights.
Tuesday nights at 7. So Chloe and Clark are talking about, like, oh, they found Dustin under the... I guess they're at lunch now, but it's like, is it the next day? Is it the same day? It's all very confusing. But they're at lunch, and they see... I love Clark sipping out of, like, the little mini milk carton. Like, that is just so... To see Tom Welling drinking one of those is just so odd.
Yes, it is.
They see Jody... Of course, she's just eating, like, everything, right? This habit's got to be pretty expensive at some point, you know? I mean, good thing her dad just is not on top of things. Or he'd have been like, hey, why do we have a $500 credit card charge from Church's Chicken or something like that?
Yes, I was thinking that, too.
But, so she's just eating the whole school cafeteria here. And it's just so awkward, but, like, in a funny way, because they sit down to talk to Jody, and they're like, hey, Jody, eating a lot there, huh? And she's like, oh, I'm just nervous about the big party. And she's still eating. And then they're all just sitting there kind of watching her eat. No one is saying anything. She's still eating. And then she eventually is like, oh, well, I'll catch you guys later. And she leaves. And Clark and Chloe start talking for a bit. And Clark's like, okay, well, I got to run. I got to work on Lana's birthday present. I'm like, what? Is this not the middle of the school day? Like, where are you going? Like, I don't – if you're at lunch, then I'm fine just the middle. But anyway – why do I even...
Again.
Tuesday nights at 7.
2 hours of class time.
he does say, I've got to fly, which I was like, oh, it's because he's Superman. I get it.
Lulz. Wait, can he fly right now?
No, but he says, oh, like, okay. I got to, as you say, like, I got to fly.
Well, sure. I just wasn't sure if he could so early. I didn't remember it being this early in the show.
No, it's he never flies in the show.
Oh, what?
Until the series finale. Of his own accord. Occasionally he will float. Ugh. He will leap tall buildings in a single bound. And when he's under the influence of, like, red kryptonite or a Kryptonian, you know, program of some kind, he can fly. But when he's just Clark Kent, he has a mental block. He's afraid of heights, which I thought was pretty cool. Like, that was a cool little mental block for him.
Oh, that's so interesting. Okay, now you're making this seem like...
See? I turned it around for you, didn't I?
You have. You really have. Because I like that. That actually makes him interesting. That was always my problem with Superman, or at least from what I knew of him growing up, is he seemed like there weren't really any real challenges to overcome, personal challenges, because he's like a Superman.
Yes, and that's the whole thing with Smallville. And because he's younger, like you can get away with that kind of stuff. And that was the genius of the whole concept of the show. But yes, unfortunately, he doesn't really fly until like the last 30 minutes of... the series finale, and he's mostly CGI, and it's just, I don't want to get into it. Why did you even bring that up? Now I'm in a bad place.
I was just curious.
I'm
you
in
said
a negative
fly.
State now. You have.
I've ruined it for you.
I love that someone Clark leaves. Chloe's just left there with this giant stack of food, and she takes the last brownie. That was so
Yeah,
funny.
I liked that. Like, whatevs.
Back to the B plot now. Lex goes to visit Dr. Hamilton, and Dr. Hamilton is played by Joe Morton. Now, if you have been a fan of any kind of sci-fi anything for the last 20 years, you know who this guy is. To me, he's Dr. Miles Dyson from Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Okay, I knew I'd seen him somewhere.
Knew you'd seen him somewhere. Sure. Come on, you've seen him everywhere. He was in Speed. He was an American Gangster. He has been in all kinds of TV shows. He's been in Warehouse 13. He was in Eureka for several years, you know, that show on the Sci-Fi Channel. He's been in Law & Order. He's been in The Practice. He's been in... My point is, the guy's everywhere. And he was also... He always plays the same character, too, because I got to say this. So he creates Skynet in Terminator 2. So he's like this crazy scientist who inadvertently creates artificial intelligence that destroys the Earth, right? Do you remember the Jamie Foxx movie Stealth?
Kind of.
With Jessica Biel, and it's like... fighter pilots, but there's like a computer that controls the plane that turns evil.
Oh, yes, okay.
I never saw the movie, but there was the trailer of it. Joe Morton is in it, and I swear to God, he's playing the same character as Miles Dyson, because there's a clip where he says, "It will replace us all." And he's talking about the plane. I'm going to go find that and post that on the social media, because Lance and I laughed about that for years whenever we'd see that trailer. It's like, oh, it's Dr. Hamilton, Dr. Dyson, and it was all around the same time. So, you know, good for him. He's a working actor. He's been in a lot of stuff. He's a really recognizable face, and he plays Dr. Hamilton. Now, this is not Professor Hamilton. Do not be confused, because there is a Superman character named Professor Hamilton, Professor Emil Hamilton, who was invented in the 80s, and
he was confusing.
He was actually an ally for Superman in the comic books, and in the eighth season of Smallville, we do meet the Smallville version of Dr. Emil Hamilton, who is played by Alessandro Giuliani, who was on Battlestar Galactica. And then he becomes a recurring character in the last 3 years of the show. But this is not that character. This is Dr. Hamilton, Dr. Stephen Hamilton, not Professor Emil Hamilton. So don't be confused, fans.
Okay. Glad you warned me.
That's what I'm here to do, to point these things out. Chloe had made a crack about him, like, selling meteor rocks on the side of the road for $5.
Yep.
Lex pulls up to his house. He literally was selling meteor rocks on the side of the road for
$5. Yeah, the little stand is right there. I laughed.
Lex wants to recruit him to study the meteor rocks, because he's become fascinated with its effects on people. He's pretty hostile to him. He turns him down, and Lex doesn't really understand why. But you know, we're done with that. We got to get back to the A-plat now.
Yep.
Chloe has found the, as you mentioned before, Nancy, Chloe has found the detail shop receipt or something. I even forgot how she mentioned she found this, but... she basically made the connection that the car that hit the deer that they saw earlier was Jody's car. So therefore, she killed the deer and sucked all its fat. And they start going through this, like, oh, she drank the juice from those vegetables grown in that soil in their greenhouse next to the big meteor hit. It's like, wow, guys, taking some big logical leaps here.
Great. My note for that scene says, they came to that conclusion awfully fast, LOL.
Well, it's because they've been seeing this for, like, 2 months now, right? We're 7 episodes in. They're familiar with this stuff.
Right, that's fair. I would have probably thought the same thing if there was just a string of weird behavior and it was all...
Well, it's like, well, how else would you explain it? You know what I mean? Like, it becomes a point with these things, like, what's more unbelievable? This unbelievable BS or this slightly less unbelievable BS? Like, it's
Well, that's kind of what happened in the X-Files too, right? Like, it's the same kind of question.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So clearly, it's just this giant alligator molder. It's not a sea serpent. So for an episode that's about Pete, you know, Pete is not really in it very much. Because Sam Jones III says in the Smallville Companion, he says, Craving is one of my favorite early episodes because it was the first one that I really had a lot of stuff to do in. The Freak of the Week was basically after me, so that was very exciting for me to do. So, yeah, I guess, relatively speaking...
He's just going to take whatever they gave him.
Yeah, relatively speaking, he has a lot to do in this episode, but he's barely in it. Like, if he had been in these other scenes with Clark and Chloe... He never would have been in danger anyway because he would have been in the loop of like, oh, yes. God, this girl who likes me and I kind of like is going to kill me because she has to suck fat. So Pete goes to pick up Jody for Lana's party and, you know, because Lana and Jody are just really good friends. by the way, we'll get to that at the end here. Bechdel test. Were you paying attention? Bechdel test is part of this podcast, Nancy.
Yes, I was paying attention.
We'll get to it in the wrap up. So Pete goes to pick up Jody. She starts having like the craving, the hunger. So, but she's real cool about it. She's like, Pete, just need to leave me alone. I'm sorry. You've always been nice to me. I don't want to hurt you. Just leave me alone. So she really tries to like get him out of there. What she should have done though was lock the front door, and that would have solved all the problems. Because Pete just goes in the front door because she didn't lock it, and she's having her hunger, and. I guess it becomes like some kind of primal instinct. Like she literally cannot help herself, I guess. And that's why she attacks Pete. Luckily Clark comes in just at the last minute and you know, the lights are all down at her house. Like lights are all off. So it doesn't look as absurd this time when she opens up her big anaconda mouth.
Yeah. Yes.
And that probably saved him some special effects money too. Like, let's just make it a shadow. Can we do that, guys? Can we figure out a way to do that? Thanks. God, didn't she like knock Pete out like on the floor? Like, she banged his head against the
Yeah,
tile?
she jumped on him or pushed him over, and he cracked his head on the tile.
I'm like,
and he was
my
out.
God, that would, like, crack your skull, you know? But,
right?
But he gets up, you know, well, he gets up a few minutes later. So why this is all going on? Meanwhile, okay, keep in mind, this is before Lana's party, right? Because they're all on their way to Lana's party. They're all getting ready. They're all about to go.
Right.
And this happens very quickly, because Pete shows up. He goes inside. He gets knocked out. He's about to get fat sucked. Clark comes in, stops Jody. She runs off to her greenhouse. I'm not really sure why she runs off to the greenhouse, but the plot needs Clark to get weak, so he's surrounded by kryptonite.
yeah, that's what I thought, too. He's grabbing onto one of the planters and falling over, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, we needed to have him here. Like, okay.
Well, I mean, I will say this. I think it does – they do use kryptonite too much in the show, but it's a really good conceit into, like, why do these normal run-of-the-mill villains even stand a chance against Superman? You know what I mean?
Right. No, I agree with that. I think it makes sense, especially with the way that they did it in the show, right? Where there's kryptonite literally all over Smallville.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then.
So she's just going crazy. She's throwing this, I don't know, I guess she's got like a shovel. She's throwing everywhere. And she's like, all I wanted to be was thin. And so Clark says, I guess like a bad trigger word for her. She's like, Jody, you're not yourself. And she's like, isn't this how I'm supposed to look? And she starts, you know, goes even more crazy. I'm like, I don't know, show. Maybe you shouldn't have gone there with what she was saying.
Yeah.
But I like, well, like, see, once again, if they were saying something, that'd be cool. But they just weren't saying anything, which is why.
Like, this would have been the time for the lesson to come out.
Exactly. Like, Clark could have said, I don't know, something. I don't know. I don't know what something. It is, but I wanted something. Now, I will say this. She's about to, I don't know, finish Clark off with her shovel. Something.
Yeah.
And she sees a shattered reflection of herself on the ground from, like, you know, the greenhouse being shattered. And I don't know what it was, but that was something. You know, like, that was something, and I appreciate it. Like, I don't know if I liked it or disliked it, but I appreciate the fact that it was something there. Like, it was a moment of introspection for her.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I should stop now. What they should have done was have her see, like, some, like, funhouse warped image through, like, some glass of, like, her being looking heavier, like, how she was before, maybe. I feel like that would have been more effective because as she continued to lose weight, she kept looking at the older pictures of herself, like, with more fondness. Like, oh, that was me, and what have I become, and stuff like that.
Right.
I feel like they didn't really – that would have been a good opportunity to tie it all together. Yes, it would have been cheesy, but this is like, oh, look, I see some reflections of myself in this broken glass. That's going to stop me from killing this guy. I didn't really make that connection. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, maybe it's that she saw that she looked like a crazy person.
That's also true. Maybe
like,
that's
like, I got my teeth bared like an animal.
Well, and then she's like, there's only one way to stop it. And she, like, decides to blow up the greenhouse by, like, destroying the gas. I'm like, hey, look, I get the whole, like, I can't live with myself anymore. I'm going to sacrifice myself. What about Clark? He's right there. If you blow up his greenhouse, he's going to die. You don't know that he has superpowers. So, and by the way, it's 80 yards to the rescue because we get the wide shot of the greenhouse and we hear the sound effect of the super speed. We hear, like, So that that tells us that Clark escaped, but I don't know how he did because he was weakened by all the kryptonite, but whatever, right?
That's what I was thinking too. Well, you know,
so many plot holes. But this is an awesome explosion. Like, they got their money's worth out of blowing up this greenhouse because obviously they really did it. Like, they really blew up this physical location, and it shows.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, and they had, like, three cameras on it, and I swear they showed every take of every explosion. But that was a hardcore hardcore explosion. Now, speaking of Pete, can you imagine being Pete, and you wake up, and you go outside, and this is what you see? Like, everything's just...
Right, there's just an explosion.
It's like, what the hell happened?
What the hell happened while I was out?
That's probably what woke him up, you know.
I would hope so.
The explosion. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm surprised he woke up at all. So once again, this is all before Lana's party. This is like 5-10 minutes has passed, right? There's plenty of time. Plenty of time for Clark to make it to the party. But Pete goes over to them, and because Clark's cradling Jody, who I guess is passed out from all this. He's like, is she okay? And Clark's like, oh, we need to get her to a hospital. I'm like, okay, here's an idea. Pete, why don't you take her to a hospital, and I will go to this party. Like, maybe that's a...
That's exactly what I was
like,
thinking.
I get that Clark's, right. Like, he's taking the high road and all that stuff, but...
No, he's, like, being a martyr, like, for unnecessary reasons.
Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, Pete, you know how important this is to me, so you got this, right? You got... But no, he should take them both to the hospital, because Pete probably has a concussion, so maybe that's what it is, even though he's up walking around. I defeated my own point there, but the point being, I feel like there's plenty of time. I mean, what about these kids have cell phones, right? Just, hey, Lana, I'm a few minutes late. Right. I'm sorry.
So I don't understand why he just went home.
But like, because it was too late, Nancy. The party was over.
but no, that doesn't. Okay.
I know. I did like right, that. I know, scene. But
they,
I know.
They really want the ending though, I know, so I'll give it to him.
I did like the scene between Lex and Lana, where Lana's waiting out on the balcony, and Lex kind of comes out and talks to her, and they kind of have a. They connect there. He's like, I spend a lot of Luther parties out in the coat.
Yeah,
closet.
I liked that dialogue. That was cool. It was a cool insight into his character, I think.
Yeah, I mean, just despite this episode just being absurd, like, there's a lot of great Lex stuff here.
Again, like those ridiculous X-Files episodes, always felt like there were some good nuggets in each of them with, like, right. Character development.
Well, speaking of when Clark goes home, though, you know, they talk about, well, son, you know, sometimes you have to make sacrifices. And Martha's like, yeah, you made your choice. I'm like, made your choice, sacrifices? Like, where'd the time go? You know what I mean?
Yes.
But Clark's like, maybe I don't have to sacrifice everything. And he goes off, and we're not sure what he's going to do. But before the final scene, we do get one last scene with Joe Morton as Dr. Hamilton. And Lex basically just calls him out and says, you know, I thought you had been expelled from Metropolis University due to your meteor theories, because Dr. Hamilton has had these theories about, you know, what the meteorites do to people, and that's why Lex is talking to him in the first place.
Right.
But he's like, no, it was actually for your student-teacher relations. It's like, damn, we just got real up in here.
real talk.
But, and then Lex even has this thinly veiled thread of like, I wonder if the Smallville Police Department has you registered. I'm like, what? College, bro. Like, everybody's 18 in college, you know what I mean?
Well, but you know, he's already kind of flexing his what he'll go on to use, right, to manipulate everybody to do what he wants. So
that's true. But this does set up, like I said, Dr. Hamilton is in a few more episodes, and they have a nice little subplot here through the end of this season to the beginning of next season. I wish it lasted longer, because I enjoyed having Joel Morton on the show, because what he tells Lex here is, what you're looking for could take years. I'm like, oh yeah, years. Let's go for years, show. All right, I like it. but of course it didn't. It ended at the beginning of season two, but we'll get there. And Dr. Hamilton, meanwhile, he really has no idea why Lex is interested in this stuff. Lex has written him a check for $100,000 to kind of jumpstart his research.
Yeah.
And he's like, so why is a billionaire son interested in a bunch of rocks that fell out of the sky 12 years ago? And Lex says, I save that story for the people I trust, which is huge because you realize, oh man, he trusts Clark, and and then in the back of your head, you're like, oh man, he trusts Clark, but Clark doesn't trust him. This is not going to end well, which is sad because Lex doesn't trust many people, and Clark is his best, if not only, friend. And you can really start to see why that friendship's not going to work and why he would get so twisted when it all fell apart.
Sure.
But great episode for Lex. So good. So good.
Yeah, agreed.
So then last scene, we get Enrique Iglesias. We get Hero. Remember that song?
Oh, I laughed so much. Baby. My note says, oh God, the music choices.
These music choices are so awesome. I used to make mixed CDs, and most of them comprised songs that I heard on Smallville.
LOL. Oh, Zach, that's funny. I just love how perfectly I can pick, like, when this episode came out because of what closing song they used. Exactly. I know immediately what it's from. And the old rocks at the window trick.
Yes. Has that ever worked in real life? Like, I'd be afraid to break the window and then be in even more trouble.
Probably, knowing my luck, I would break a window.
He's lucky, like, Aunt Nell didn't come out like, hey, what the hell are you doing?
Like, you harassing my daughter? Oh, God.
She has a boyfriend.
Right?
Oh, before we do that, I have to mention this. There's an earlier scene with Lex, and Lex and Lana are talking before the scene we mentioned. When, it's so hard to keep track of this episode because there is no structure. But they're talking, and Lana and Lex are talking about how Whitney's not going to be at the party. And she's like, yeah, he didn't think he was going to make the tryouts at Kansas State, but someone dropped out, and he made the cut. And Lex is like, I know.
Yeah. What the heck did Lex did, like, what was she, that? Was she like, set this boy up to
exactly,
get in there?
I think it's left ambiguous enough where it can go either way, but I love how even if it's not true, Lex let her believe it was. She gave him, like, a look, you know, and Lex is like, what? Your aunt told me. I like your new chauffeur better anyway, and then he walks off. So I think that's totally what happened there. I love that. I love that about Lex. Because he's always about, bottom line, Lex Luthor is always about himself.
Well, none of it's ever really
It's not altruistic. Genuine. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no altruism with Lex Luthor, even when he's trying to be a good guy.
Even when he's trying. Indeed.
So, rock to the window, Lana comes out. She's like, you know, she's actually pretty understanding because she comes outside to get her birthday present from Clark. Once again, he could just said, hey, sorry. Remember Jody, that girl you invited to your party that you've never talked to before in your life? Anyway, she got infected with meteorites and tried to kill Pete, and I had to stop her. Or, like, we had to stop her, and everything's fine. You know, I don't know.
There could have been some sort of explanation. I agree.
He's being a martyr for martyr's sake. But he convinces her that, hey, I got your birthday present. Let me show it to you right now. And what he has done is he's set up a movie projector, drive-through movie. He's in their truck. He's set up a little movie screen on the side of a barn, projecting the Looney Tunes cartoons. Thankfully, Smallville is owned by the WB, which also owns Looney Tunes. I'm sure they did that intentionally. They're like, let's mention something we own. Let's not be like Mickey Mouse, because we can't afford that. That's Disney money. We ain't got that Disney money.
We already spent all the money on blowing up this greenhouse. We can't pay for anything
that
else.
That is the whole budget. So it's really a cute moment. They're sitting in the car watching Looney Tunes, eating popcorn. It's a really cute, adorable moment. But it's highly inappropriate considering Lana has a boyfriend.
I mean? Right? Like, that for me was so sad. Again, I go back to not liking Lana for stuff like that.
And you,
like,
wonder why young boys have warped ideas about, like, these kinds of things. Like, oh,
this show was not helpful for that.
She's got a boyfriend? No problem. You know? Like, come on.
Yeah. I can fix that. She doesn't like me yet. I can change that.
But if you put that aside, it really is a cute. It really is a cute moment between the two.
It is a nice gesture, though. It is, because he obviously cares about her and wanted to do something special. Whitney was like, "I got you a book," which is fine. She likes books. Clearly, she's smart if she's reading Confederacy of Dunces.
I should have died that day. Instead, I walked away with this.
I'm sorry.
Why? It's not your fault. When I was younger, I thought it was a curse. Kids figured I was a freak or on chemo. Then I began to see it as my gift. The thing that defined me, that gave me strength.
You ever wonder what you'd be like? You know, if you hadn't come that day?
It doesn't matter, Clark. It happened. Personally, I think my future's gonna be brighter than that spoiled rich brat that walked into that cornfield.
Craving got a 7.5 out of 10 from IMDb. Now, Nancy, when I tell you 7.5, where do you think that falls as, like, high, middle, low ranking for Smallville? What do you think?
That seems pretty high. I don't know. I don't know. I can't decide.
The more that I look into these, because you say, 7.5 out of 10. Must be pretty good, right? No, this is the second to worst rated episode of Smallville off IMDb. And IMDb,
of all time?
Yeah.
Every episode they have?
I'm sorry, third. Worse. Now, here's the deal. Here's the problem.
Whoa!
IMDb, highly unreliable when it comes to ratings, as I found out. Because when you look at all the ratings on the show, it's completely dependent on who takes the time to go vote on this stuff to begin with, right? So, like, if you really hate something, like, I've never voted on IMDb on anything, right? And I eat and breathe multimedia. So, I feel like people who like the show are more prone to go rate the episodes, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, the less and less popular the show gets, the less people who don't like it are watching and rating it. Do you follow my
yeah,
reasoning?
I do.
So like by the time we get to season 10, like only like the diehards like me are watching the episode still. Like for example, the pilot, right, had 1,072 votes. Okay. Random episode from season 10, 468. Okay. So that's like less than like a third of the number of people. So I say that with saying, you know, IMDb, yes, it's like a cool gauge, but it's really all dependent on the people who are watching it. So yes, Craving is tied for the third worst rated episode on IMDb.
Oh, that's funny.
One of those episodes comes from season one. One of them comes from season five. And one of them comes from season six. And, you know, I will say the ones worse than this are worse than this.
Oh, okay.
But there are much worse episodes than all of those later on in the show, in my opinion. Yeah, because that kind of threw me off. I'm like, there's no way 7.5. Like, I've kind of had to reevaluate their entire grading scale, really, based off these scores. That being said, the Superman homepage, Neil Bailey, the reviewer there, he gave it 3 out of 5, which was higher than I thought he would give it. But he makes a point here about the characters, so I'm going to read this part of his review. The characters, as always, were top-notch. The Lana Clark ending made goose flesh break out of my arm, and the moment when Lex indicated that he got rid of Whitney was priceless. I agree. Pete and his date acceptance, gold. I agree. The glutus who poked fun of the, quote, chubby chasing, quote, who was then eaten, gotta love that. And the continuing good writing, at least from the dialogue and characterization front, proved exemplary once again. The drive-in was succinct and brought out well, without expectation. Good hidden foreshadow. So, that's his point. Like, the characters elevate their material, and I completely agree. That being said, Nancy, what would you give this episode?
Well, I feel like the parts of it that we liked, like the Lex parts, like, if I was grading this, if this was like an essay that someone turned into me, I mean, the fact that they tried and there were actually some good parts, I think is... I usually like to reward effort, even if it's not necessarily in the right place. Mm-hmm. So I feel like at least it tried. I mean, it tried to do something different. I'm sure that was probably different back then at that point before everyone was like, let's suck the fat out of people. I guess, I don't know. I guess I'd probably give it like a C. I would pass it, but it'd be a low passing grade.
I'm right there with you. I struggled of like C, C minus, C, C minus. But I feel like the Lex stuff was just so good. And that's the thing about Lex. Lex made this show. Michael Rosenbaum is an amazing actor. Yeah. He is Lex Luthor. And just he added so much dynamic to the character who, you know, on screen in all the movies, he's pretty one-dimensional. You know, it's very disappointing, all the interpretations of Lex Luthor. Now, Jesse Eisenberg is my main concern with Batman vs. Superman. I'm completely on board with almost everything about that movie. Jesse Eisenberg is the big question mark. And can he live up to Michael Rosenbaum? I know people probably think that's the guy from Smallville. Look, man. Watch the show.
Oh,
Lex Luthor makes the show.
Just in this one episode, I was thinking like, like he's pretty good Lex just from this one thing that I've seen. So
yeah, with that, I'm going to have to give it a C. Like you said, you got to pass it.
Yeah.
But it just, there's no structure. Like it feels like this is like three episodes kind of mishmashed together because you could have that Lana birthday plot in the episode.
It's like they had all these like little plot bitlets and they just crammed them all into one thing because they didn't have enough.
Like
one wasn't long enough for an episode.
Well, yeah. Like these were vignettes. Like they'd be much better. You know, I would totally watch the vignette about Lana's birthday party and the vignette about Lex and the Meteor Rocks, but I would not watch the vignette about the fat sucking vampire. The producers were actually very happy with this episode as far as the ratings go. Miles Miller says in the Smallville Season 1 Companion, I was very happy with the casting of Jodie. A big surprise, Amy Adams, right? Oscar nominee, Golden Globe winner. I was never really happy with the script, and if we hadn't cast her, we would have been in deep trouble. But it's interesting, because this is one of our most popular episodes with teens. It did really well in the ratings, and got a great response from teens. So I was like, really? Like this episode? So I looked up the ratings. Brace yourselves, folks. This was the second highest rated episode of Smallville Season 1 after the pilot. Can you imagine
what?
That? Yep.
No.
Yes, because all the previous six were so good, people tuned in for this one. And then...
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Well, yeah. Whenever people say, well, it was the highest rated episode, you need to thank the episode before that.
Before it,
because
yep.
if you know, thinking backwards, the episode before this had visions of the future of President Lex Luthor and Clark Kent living forever in a graveyard of all his family and friends. That's epic stuff, and people probably told everyone, oh my god, you gotta watch Smallville, it was so awesome this week, yeah, President Lex Luthor, oh, it's so cool. And then they tune in and they get the fat sucking vampire episode. And no surprise. So just to put things in perspective, the pilot episode, 8.4 million viewers. Okay.
Okay.
This one, 7.4 million. The following week, 5.8 million. So you lost 1.5 million viewers. Thanks, Amy Adams.
Well, I guess however they want to interpret that data.
Well, the episode was just kind of a mess because one of the other directors of the show, not who directed this episode, but Greg Beeman, who was a director on Smallville, he goes on to say, Amy Adams was great. It had some cool stuff in it, but I think we were finding our way. Who were our villains? What was appropriate? What wasn't appropriate? I know some people like it, and it deals with some teenage girls' issues about food, but I thought it was a little creepy. Well said, Greg. I agree.
I mean, I don't really have anything to add to that. He kind of hit the nail on the head.
So something else we do on our Smallville tally board for this series is the Bechdel test. And Nancy, I'm sure you're familiar with the Bechdel test. It's when two women have a conversation in a work of fiction, not about a man.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe you can help me with clarification here, because this episode I was like, I don't think it passes, even though women talk to each other in groups. You know, like Chloe talks to Jody, but Clark is there, and Lana talks to her aunt, but Clark is there. If it's like a group talking to another group, it doesn't count, right?
I don't count it, but I don't know if there's like I don't know if it officially counts or not.
Yeah, I don't think there's a true, you know, rule book for this kind of thing. Yeah, this episode fails.
It does, unfortunately.
Which is a shame because you have your guest star is a girl, so you think at some point along the way she might talk to another girl about something other than a guy. And I guess she doesn't have any scenes, yeah, period, with any other women.
That's really interesting. She doesn't even have, like, one other girlfriend, like, that she talks to. That maybe is a little unrealistic for the episode, because usually even the people who are, you know, forever alone types or for whatever reason, they usually have one other friend.
Hashtag forever alone.
So mean. I feel bad for saying that. But you know what I mean. It's interesting.
Well, Nancy, thanks so much for taking the time and being on the show. And how would you think of Smallville?
Sure. Oh, it was my pleasure. I enjoyed watching the episode. I have to say, it was not as bad as I sort of thought it might be. I was pleasantly surprised, but I mean, not really, because I understand that this show has a huge fan base the way X-Files does, and it's for a reason.
Yes, so. There is a reason I watched this show for 10 years.
obviously, people love it.
Well, cool. Well, we'll have you back on again for the season's out then, Nancy.
You will. I will be interested in doing that. Awesome. Look forward to that.
Awesome. Well, it was a really fun conversation. I really enjoyed your perspective because, you know, most of us, we lived and breathed this stuff. So to have an outsider perspective is really great, really fascinating.
I, like, actively avoided it. Oh. But no longer. I'm reformed.
Awesome. So if people want to find you on the internet, where should they go?
Ooh, on the interwebs. I am around sometimes on Twitter, not lately because I've been trying to finish my manuscript. But if you tweet me, I will find out. I will reply. That would be at Dasmoosh, DASMOOSH. And that is really the best place to find me. And then if you want to find me other places, I can talk to you on there as well.
And if you want to find me personally on Twitter, I am at MoreOnZach, MoreOnZach. For the show, we are at Always Mallville, 1S, 1S. Twitter has a character limit, so we've embraced that. We are at Always Mallville on Twitter. You can email us at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Facebook, on our Facebook page, Always Hold On to Smallville. And I must say, shout out to you guys out there. We had a great conversation going from the last episode, lots of back and forth, talking about all kinds of Smallville stuff. Not just this episode, but like all the conversations that spun off of it. And that's great, and I really encourage you guys to do that because that creates more conversation, it creates more interest. It makes me feel better to know that people care about the podcast and are still interested in Smallville. So it's great to know you guys are out there, and just spread the word. If you have friends that like Smallville, like Superman, do you think they'd enjoy hearing us talk about it? Let them know. You know, we're a young podcast. We're building an audience, and we'll take all the recommendations we can get. Well, I don't know about you, Nancy, but I'm craving more Smallville already. See what I did there?
Yes, I did.
Good. And I'm getting the jitters because an expectation, because next week, Lance Lasser will be back, and we're talking about the episode Jitters. But until then, always hold on to Smallville. I can be